Daisy. Thank you for the word that you're stirring in my children. Let them be bold and brave and be willing to speak the words that you give them. And let it prosper and bless us too in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Okay, everybody. This is going to be a more casual teaching, I guess.
You want some water?
No.
Mm-hmm. I want some water.
More like that. The other night, it was Miss Jill who brought up the salt of the earth, how people are supposed to be like salt. And it just reminded me, we had just finished biology testing, and we were talking about different kinds of solutions, hypertonic, hypotonic, and isotonic. And I just wanted to relate that to the word. So, good evening, everyone. Tonight, we're talking about something I call the presence of God on a molecular level. Now, before anybody panics, no, this isn't a chemistry class, you won't be graded on anything, no pop quizzes. But I do think God leaves fingerprints of himself all throughout the creation. Jesus constantly used physical things to explain spiritual truths. Seed, water, bread, light, sheep, vines. So tonight we're going to look at salt, water, cells, pressure, and community, and how those reflect spiritual realities. And honestly, if God can, if God can speak through a burning bush, I think he can definitely speak through biology notes. Okay, part one, salt and water. In chemistry, there are two important terms, solute and solvent. I'm going to go ahead and write this on the board. So, a solute, can everybody see that?
Nope.
Is that big enough?
Yeah,
really small.
Okay, we're going to try again. A solute is what's being dissolved in a solution. And a solvent is what is dissolving.
Will you pump up the volume a little bit too for the people in the back?
All right. And we're going to come back to those two terms in a little bit. Okay, so for this example, we're going to say salt is our solute and water is our solvent. The water carries the salt throughout the solution. Now, spiritually, this becomes interesting. Can we turn to Matthew 5:13? I'm sure we've all heard this verse several times, but it's good to kind of reiterate once in a while. So Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot." Jesus calls believers the salt of the earth. Salt preserves, salt flavors, salt changes environments. Mm-hmm. You ever eat fries with no salt?
Oh, never.
That's not food. Salt changes everything it touches. And believers are supposed to influence the environments around them. Mm-hmm. But salt sitting by itself doesn't spread very far. It needs something to carry it. Now, if we go to John 4:14. Jesus says, "But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Mm-hmm. Jesus calls himself living water. So spiritually, we are the salt, Jesus is the living water, and God spreads his influence through people filled with his spirit. Without water, salt just stays isolated crystals. But with Christ, Christians become spiritually, or without Christ, Christians become spiritually dry. And dry Christians are dangerous. They get offended by everything. They argue about everything. They post long 14-paragraph Facebook comments that nobody asked for. That's what happens when there's salt but no living water. Part two.
That felt kind of personal, honey.
I apologize. Now let's go deeper. John 1:1. We all should know the verse.
Yes.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word isn't just information. The Word is the revelation of God himself. God's Word surrounds us, penetrates us, teaches us, and transforms us. Like a solvent spreading through a solution, Scripture reaches us in places inside us that nothing else can.
Good.
You can listen to motivational speeches all day long, but only the Word of God can expose the heart and transform the soul. And here's a fun connection. We're skewing away from biology, and we're going to math. Have y'all ever heard of the transitive property? The transitive property states if A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C. So 3 points that we've gone over is the Word is God, Jesus is God in human flesh, and Jesus is living water. This means when we immerse ourselves in Christ and his Word, we are surrounding ourselves with the presence of God himself. So God is the living water. And yes, this may be one of the few sermons in history to combine algebra and theology. All right, part three. Flying by a little quick. Spiritual environments. In biology, we learn that cells react differently depending on the environment around them. They function properly when the solvent, in this example water, is equal to the solute, which in this example is salt. And spiritually, people function differently in environments too. Some environments help us grow, some environments weaken us, some pressure us. So let's look at 3 kinds of environments, or in this case, solutions. The first solution, a hypertonic solution. A hypertonic environment starts with the solution where the solvent is less than the amount of solute. This can cause water from within the cell to rapidly exit, causing the cell to shrink in an attempt to maintain homeostasis. So I'm just going to do a quick little diagram, because I know that was kind of a lot. That's what I got. I might need help.
What are your hands?
Don't laugh at me. You make me nervous.
You're doing well.
All right. So pretend the outer box is the solution. We have a cell inside that's before, and we'll make it after. So the bigger, larger clumps will be salt. The smaller ones will be water. We want an equal amount of both. So in a hypertonic solution, there is going to be more salt than water on the outside. So what the cell is going to have to do to even it out is take water from inside of it, because the salt is too large to travel through, and it's going to exit, which will cause the cell to shrivel. All right? So, spiritually, this represents environments full of negativity, compromise, the bad kind, gossip, isolation, and spiritual emptiness. When someone constantly lives in that environment, their spiritual life starts shrinking. Faith shrinks, joy shrinks, passion shrinks. That's why community matters so much. In Proverbs 27:17, you don't have to go there, I can just read it to you. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. God designed people to strengthen each other. You become like what consistently surrounds you. That's why you can leave one conversation feeling encouraged and leave another conversation needing prayer. Mm-hmm. Environment matters. A disconnected Christian becomes vulnerable. The enemy loves isolation because isolated people are easier to discourage. Mm-hmm. A coal separated from the fire cools down quickly. Mm-hmm. And spiritually, isolation can slowly drain people without them even realizing it. Mm-hmm. The second environment, an isotonic environment. An isotonic environment is balanced. Nothing changes. So, if we could just imagine... everything's equal. Nothing needs to go anywhere. There's no shrinking, but there's also no growth. Mm-hmm. Spiritually, this represents people who are comfortable but stagnant. They're not running from God, but they're not pursuing Him deeply either. Mm-hmm. They attend church, they know worship songs, they know exactly when to say amen, but spiritually, they stopped growing a long time ago. Mm-hmm. They've become like furniture. Always present, rarely moving. Mm-hmm. God did not call us merely to maintain faith. He called us to mature in it. Mm-hmm. In Romans 12, verses 4 through 5, it says, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." The body of Christ was designed for movement and growth. Different people have different roles. We have teachers, encouragers, servants, leaders. Every part matters. Growth happens when the body functions together. Okay, Our next environment, a hypotonic environment. Hypotonic environments start in a solution where the amount of solvents are greater than the amount of solutes, creating intense pressure as water has to rush into the cell to even out the ratios. Okay, so I'm going to draw it again. Hopefully I can open the marker. Okay. Got it. From outside of the cell is a lot greater than it needs to be, so it rushes into the cell because there are also more solutes within it, causing it to swell and also do something that is not good. It happens a lot in our bodies, but we have so many cells that it doesn't really affect us majorly. Pressure can damage cells and cause them to burst. This is something called apoptosis, when the cell pops. And sometimes when we bite off more than we can chew, life creates pressure. Mm-hmm. Stress, temptation, suffering, anxiety, uncertainty. Pressure is real. But here's the amazing thing. If you've dove into cells recently, you know that plant cells have something special that helps them survive in the pressure of water. They have a cell wall. This surrounds the cell, keeping it from bursting. Mm-hmm. Plants need to be able to retain a lot more water than animal cells do. which is why they have that cell wall. That structure protects them spiritually. Believers also need structure. Without spiritual support, pressure can cause people to burst. But God gives us protection through His Spirit and His people.
Good.
Part 4, the cell wall of community. What is the spiritual cell wall? It's community. Not shallow friendships, not just sitting near people at church, real biblical community. In Psalms 133, verse 1, it says, "How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity." Mm-hmm. Unity creates strength. The enemy attacks unity because divided people become weaker. Mm-hmm. Community encourages, corrects, supports, and protects. When one person struggles, it becomes the whole body's job to contribute. God designed believers to stand together. Part 5. God's present in us. At the molecular level, cells constantly interact with what surrounds them. Spiritually, our hearts do the same thing. What surrounds you eventually shapes you. If you surround yourself with fear, bitterness, division, negativity, it changes you. But if you surround yourself with truth, worship, godly community, and the presence of God, it transforms you. And the incredible truth is, God does not remain distant from us. Through the Holy Spirit, He dwells within believers. We don't just study God from a distance. We carry His presence. Yeah. So going back to 3 solutions, hypertonic, shrinking, not having enough water, not reading the Word enough, not having enough God in our lives, even with all the knowledge, we shrink. Isotonic, knowing the information, being present, but just not being present enough, not wanting it. Mm-hmm. No growth, nothing changes. Mm-hmm. And a hypotonic, we grow, we expand. But sometimes the pressure and the knowledge and the guilt that comes with how much of a sinner we are, we need people to back us up, people to support us in that, and to hold us accountable, mm-hmm. our soul.
Jesus, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. God leaves reminders of Himself throughout creation. Salt, water, cells, pressure, growth, community, all of it points back to Him.
Yes.
I'm on my last page already. We are called to be the salt of the earth. Jesus is the living water. The Word transforms us. Community strengthens us. And together, the body of Christ becomes strong enough to withstand pressure without breaking. So don't isolate yourself from God's presence, God's Word, or God's people. Because healthy things grow in healthy environments. And when believers are united, filled with the living water, and grounded in truth, they become living evidence of the presence of God in the world.
Amen.
Amen.
I already know the answer to this, but isn't she great?
Yes.